Scriptures who cried to the Lord, I believe, but help mine unbelief. I've been asked to remind you also about the missionary offering. That's today, and that's very important as well. So please do remember that and give as the Lord has prospered you. We're going to turn, please, to the Old Testament, to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 2, please. Well, mainly Exodus chapter 3. We're going to read Exodus chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4. But don't worry, we're only going to read a wee bit from each. So I've got a few looks there very quickly. Exodus chapter 2, we're going to break in there at verse 23. Of course, these chapter divisions that we have, and indeed the verse divisions and the chapter divisions, were not inspired. We can therefore read through these chapter divisions. The narrative, the whole narrative, reads through as one. And it's good sometimes to do that and to consider it in that way. So Exodus chapter 2 and verse 23. I'm just taking my watch off here. Do not be concerned. It reminds me of the story, you know, about the wee boy who had tried to get his friend to go out to, his friend from school who had no church background at all, to go out to church. And he could never get him to go out to church. But eventually, after much persuasion, he said, yes, I'll go with you. And of course, he had never been to church before, never sat in a church building. And everything that happened, he asked, what's he doing now? Why is he doing that? And the wee boy did his best, without saying too much, to try to answer those questions. Until that was, it came to the stage where the minister began to preach and he took his watch off. And he put it on the side of the pulpit and he said, what's he doing now? He says, he's taking his watch off. Why is he doing that? And what does that mean? The wee boy says, it means absolutely nothing. But don't worry. I'm taking it off for a reason. And it's not so I can watch the date function. It's so I can watch the minute hand. My watch, the battery stopped on it on Monday, but we managed to get a battery in it for the meeting. So don't be alarmed. Exodus chapter 2, verse 23. I love these words. These first words that were introduced here. And it came to pass. This is not a storybook with man-made fallacies in it. This is God's word, and it came to pass. These things actually happened. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried. And their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Moses. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Turn please to verse 14. God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. And God said, moreover, unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Then I want us to notice verse 16, especially this first word. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And turn, please, to chapter 4, verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since hast thou spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go. There's that little word again. And I shall be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. I pray that the Lord might bless this reading of God's holy word this morning. Let us please stand briefly as we come to the Lord in prayer before this closing part, this preaching part this morning. Our Father, we do thank thee for thy precious word. Well, thank thee, Lord, that we've been able this day to read thy precious word, to follow on the reading, to look. And Lord, I pray that thou would bless us this day. Lord, we need a word from thee. Just as Moses needed and got a word from thee, Lord, I pray. Because we need a word from thee. Lord, I need and I pray for that help of God, the Holy Spirit, today. Lord, I pray that thou would come and that thou would bless me now as I would preach. And Lord, for every individual, as they would hear thy word, Lord, take away the deadness. Take away the distraction. Take away those things, those hurdles that would stop us. And Lord, I pray that we might be able to receive what thou would have for us this day. So Lord, to that end, I take the promised Holy Ghost. We pray for thy blessing, thy help, a holy awe to fall across this congregation this day. That we might know that thou art here to bless us. In thy precious name we ask it. Amen. There was a missionary by the name of Jonathan Goforth. Now, I think that's a great name for a missionary. But Jonathan Goforth was a man who lived in Canada, who served the Lord for many years, bringing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the people of China in the late 1800s and early 1900s. His account or his call on his call to foreign service is recorded in a biography that was written by his wife sometime after his death, but much of that account contained his own words that she found in old diaries and whatnot after his passing. And I want to read just a little bit from the early stages of that book concerning his call to missionary service. He said this, Although I was clearly led to be a minister of the gospel, I rejected all thought of being a foreign missionary. All my thoughts and plans were for work in Canada. While attending high school in Ingersoll, studying Greek and Latin, especially with a view to entering Knox College, I heard that Dr. G.L. Mackey of Formosa, and that's a place in Argentina, was to speak in the church. A schoolmate persuaded me to go with him to the meeting, and Dr. Mackey, in a vivid manner, pressed home the needs and claims of Formosa upon us. He said this, Among other things, he said, for 2 years I've been going up and down Canada trying to persuade some young man to come over to Formosa and help me, but in vain. It seems that no one has caught the vision. I'm therefore going back home alone. It'll not be long before my bones will be lying on some Formosan hillside. To me, the heartbreak is that no young man has heard the call to come and carry on the work that I have begun. This man, Jonathan Goforth, wrote about that experience, and he said, As I listened to those words, I was overwhelmed with shame. Had the floor opened up and swallowed me out of sight, it would have been a relief. And then he said this, and whenever I read these words, it put a shiver up my spine. He said this, "There was I, bought with the precious blood of Christ, daring to do with my life as I pleased. I heard the Lord's voice saying, 'Who will go for us, and whom shall we send?'" That is, of course, his words. That's taken from Isaiah 6 and 8. "And I answered, 'Here am I, send me.' From that hour," he said, "I became a foreign missionary. I eagerly read everything I could find on foreign missions and set to work to get others to catch the vision I had caught of the claims of the unreached, unevangelized millions on earth. There was I, bought with the precious blood of Christ, daring to do with my life as I please." Does that have a message for you this morning? Here in this chapter that we've read in Exodus 3, we have this inspired account. These things actually happened, as we stressed in the reading. These accounts of the meeting between God and this great man Moses. This day that God revealed himself to Moses. I'm sure this day that we've read of, I'm sure it started off like any other day. I'm sure Moses got out of bed as he did at the same time he did any other day. He would have had for his breakfast what he had any other day. He would have put on the garments, the footwear, the clothes. He would have taken that staff in his hand as he did every other day. Yet that was to be a day that was so different. A red letter day in Moses' life. That was the day, you see, God revealed himself to Moses. He took him there to that place that we read there in chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible calls it the backside of the desert. It was a place of no name, really. It was a place of ordinary. It wasn't a special place. It wasn't a special place where people would have went to meet God especially. No, the backside of the desert. Yet God had ordained it in such a way that he would speak to him there. That he would call him there. That he would commission him for the work that lay ahead. You know, perhaps God has a word for us. Yes, this day we are found in God's house. We're in the place where prayer is wont to be made. We're in the place where we meet with God. We're in the place that has been erected for that purpose. Yet how often we can come and we can go through the same rigmarole, we can go through the same pattern, we can go through the same order of service, and it can become dead to us. Perhaps we're not expecting this day God to speak. God can speak to us anytime, any place, anywhere. God had planned on this occasion that we read of from all eternity to meet this specific man, Moses, in that specific way with the burning bush, in that specific place at the backside of the desert and the mountain of God, even Horeb, in this specific manner with God's own specific burden that was planned. You know, I don't know about you, but the Lord has spoken to me in some unexpected places. Part of what brought me into the Whitfield College of the Bible, I used to drive a van, driving around Northern Ireland and into the south, selling batteries and stuff. And there was a particular tree on the way to Strabane from Londonderry. And it had a message on it, and every time I drove past that tree, the Lord smote me. God's way is the only way, that message said. And the Lord used that. The Lord used sitting in meetings like this. The Lord used every time I opened his word. And you know, the Lord can use many ways and means to minister to you today. God had a specific plan and purpose for Moses on that occasion. Perhaps the Lord has a word for you even this day. We need to be in tune and listen for that still small voice of the Lord. Apply it to ourselves. How often it is that we take God's word and we say, that was a great word, that'll do him, that'll do her, that'll do them. We need to apply God's word to ourselves every time we hear it. My message this morning is simply entitled, When God Says Go. If you know me, I'm a simple fellow. Two words. We read these words in the passage this morning, chapter 3 and verse 16. It starts with that little word, go. We read the other occurrence of go. It tells us there in chapter 4, verse 12, now therefore go. Isn't it fair to say that even the children in this meeting would understand the meaning of that little word? One of the smallest words in the English language. We all understand what it means, go. Yet, having said that, this is probably one of the most difficult words to obey. When God says, go. The first thing that we want to mention very briefly is simply this. When God says go, we should go. You see, perhaps we're sitting here and we're wondering what sort of a meeting we're going to have. We're going to wonder maybe what this young fella, this student's like. Thanks for calling me young. But we should be focusing on what the Lord will have for us today. What command, what instruction, what encouragement will God have for me? You see, the Lord spoke to this man, Moses. He was out doing what he was doing every other day. He was not expecting a particular word from the Lord. Yet God had a plan for him. God had a plan for his life. It reminds me of the story, you know. And we don't want to tell stories all day, but this one jumps to mind. About how we can take God's word and how we can always put it onto someone else. It reminds me of that old country church where the minister was always trying to speak and trying to speak to reach all the congregation. And there was one individual in that congregation who never seemed to take anything as a personal word to him, unsaved. And every day he went past the minister at the door and he shook his hand and he said, that was a great word today, Reverend, for them. Until one day, of course, heavy snow. There was only two people got to church. You guessed it, the minister and this individual. The minister preached as he did every other day. He didn't cancel the meeting. He thought, this is my opportunity. He can't pass it on to someone else. He preached and he went to the door wondering what would be said to him today. Different. Oh, the man came past him on his toes, bounced and thought it was great. Shook his hand. He said, that was a great word today, Reverend. It's a pity they weren't here to hear it. And we can laugh at that, and it's right to do so. But how often we're guilty of doing the same thing. We take God's word and we say, yes, there's a need. We come to the prayer meeting. We listen to the missionary challenge. There's a need. Such and such could go and do that. Oh, I know just the man who could settle that need. You ask the Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I pray that we might get this personal message today. A message from God, straight into and straight for ourselves. God had a specific message for Moses that day, and he made sure by these miraculous means, we have Christ revealed here in this miraculous means. This was a theophany or a Christophany, the pre-incarnation appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ himself in the burning bush. And God made sure that Moses would get that message. He tells us there in verse 3 that Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is burned with fire and why the bush is not consumed. He got the message. God's message to him. God placed that burden upon Moses' heart that day in a way that he could not shake it off. Perhaps the Lord has given you a burden and you can't shake it off. Perhaps you can't, no matter what else you think about, you keep being brought back to that burden, that individual in the workplace, that person that you should phone, That person who lives next door to you that you keep thinking and you know you should be inviting them out to the meeting, but you still haven't done that yet. The Lord will give us a work, give us a challenge, give us an opportunity to do something for Him. You see, the Lord cares for us. He loves us so much. He loves us, His people, and He loves those who are the elect, and we must do what we can do to bring them. In Exodus chapter 2, verse 23 and 24, we read those words. It gives us some insight to the Word of God here, to the mind of God on His people. It came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God. God heard this cry. God cared for them. God heard their groanings. God remembered the promises that He had made in previous generations. God looked on to His children. God had respect unto them. God has a word. God has a heart for us. This great commission was given to Moses on that occasion. He was commanded there to lead the children of Israel out. He was commanded to go. Started off with a very simple word. His command there was simply to go. Oh, how often we can look at God's word, especially the Old Testament, especially the accounts that are recorded for us so many years ago, and we can look at it and we can say, isn't it true? Oh, he should have went. Oh, he should have went without a question. He should have went without argument. He should have just went. I throw it straight back at you. And I ask this question of every individual in the meeting this morning. What would you have done? I ask myself, I preach to myself before I preach to others. What would I have done? Let us consider this man Moses on this occasion. This man Moses, and it might astound you to know that he was a man at this stage in his life. He wasn't 24. He wasn't even 30. He wasn't even 36 as I am. Not a young fella. Not right, brother. This was a man of 80 years of age. Yet the Lord commissioned him with the task to go. Oh, how often we can sit in the meeting and we can hear the challenge. We can hear the need and we can point at someone else and say, the young people. It's great to see young people involved. I love to hear of young people getting involved. But we're all laborers together with the Lord. I think there's a danger. Whenever there's an influx of young people come in, the older ones can almost feel, well, I've had my day. I'll maybe retire. You know, I've been playing rugby for 20 years. And I know the value of having, yes, young, fit, strong, exuberant fellas playing in your pack or in the back line. But I also know the value of having an old head somewhere maybe in the second row or the front row or at second centre. How important it is to have us in the church as labourers together with the Lord. Those of mixed ages. The men and the women coming in and the young and the old and that experience and that youth. Gelling together, you know, there was someone, and I can't find who it was that said this. But he said, wouldn't it be good if old men were strong and young men were wise? But God knew better. How it is that we need to have that mix, laborers together with the Lord. This man, Moses, 80 years of age, yet God called him. He was a man with a wife. We read that in chapter 2, verse 21, the latter part, he was married. He was a man with a family. Verse 22 tells us that. He was a man with a job. Chapter 3, verse 1 tells us that. Everything was going just right for Moses. In fact, we even read that this was a content man. Moses was content to dwell with the man, as we read in the early part of verse 21, chapter 2. Would you have went? Would you have thrown up these excuses? Oh, Lord, I'm old. There are younger ones who can do it. Oh, Lord, I'm married. I'm settled down. I've got a job. I'm content. I'm happy where I am. Yet God put his finger upon Moses. He chose this man. for his divine plan and his divine purpose. Not only do we consider from this passage when God commands us to go that we should go, but very, very briefly, when God says go, God goes with us. God goes with us. Consider 1 Samuel 17, how David went up against Goliath. Did he go on his own? Did he go in his own strength? Did he lean on his own crutch? No, he knew that he was going in the strength of the king. That's why he went in confidence. That's why he went with a spring in his step. And to see him here with this passage that we see here in front of us, Exodus chapter 3 especially, and into chapter 4, how the Lord assures him of his presence with him. Chapter 3 verse 8, we read the words here, to bring them out. The Lord said, bring them out, not take them out. The inference being there that God was there already. When God sends us or commands us or exhorts us to do something, he not only goes with us, he goes before us to prepare the way. What an encouragement for the believer. It's even stronger there in verse 12 of chapter 3. Certainly, this word of assurance, this word of encouragement here, certainly I will be with thee. What a commandment from God. And then in verse 12 of chapter 4, now therefore go, that word again, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. You see, dear child of God, there is never an occasion, never a time when God will send us to go to a particular people or a particular place or do a particular thing that he is not there already. God is there with us and he's there before us. I love that verse there in Proverbs 17, verse 24. Especially the latter part of that verse. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. If we're in the Lord's will, we certainly will know that. I think if we got to grips truly, what it means for the Lord to be with us, for God's presence to be with us, I think if we got a true grasp of what that meant, oh, it would change our whole outlook. It would change what we do. It would change those missed opportunities, perhaps, and turn them into opportunities that have been realized. We must move on, for our time has gone, but our third and final point this morning is simply this. When God says go, and we don't go, that is sin. The Shorter Catechism, it has a great way of taking major Bible doctrines, maybe spread across many chapters, or indeed books, or indeed testaments, and bringing them into a succinct manner. Catechism number 14, it asks the question, what is sin? Sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. What does that mean? Well, there are two types of sin. There is that sin that is doing something that we ought not to do. And how often in our church, especially, I fear, we focus and hone in on that part of the commandment that we're not to sin. We're not to do those things that God says not to do. We almost focus on that with the exception of forgetting about the other things. How often we can look at someone else and say, look what they're doing. They shouldn't be doing that. Perhaps we're right. But then we miss the point entirely and we don't do what God commands us to do. That's the second element of sin. And when God commands us to do something, anything for him, and we fail to do that, that is breaking God's law. That is failing in our requirements. That is sin. It tells us there in chapter 4, we'll not read it again, but chapter 4, verse 12 to 14 that we did read. It tells us that the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Why? Was this for something that he had done that he ought not to have done? Or rather the opposite. And how often we are commanded to do something and we miss that opportunity. We leave it. We say, no, let someone else do it. For us to miss that opportunity, we're missing the mark. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't fancy saying no to God. If God would command us to do something, to say something, to take an opportunity. And whenever I say that, I mean there are many things that each one of us can do. Look at Moses, a man of 80 years of age. There's a lady in our church, and she writes poetry. She writes letters. That's an art, perhaps, today that is lost by many. And I had an aunt who passed away not that long ago, and we were going through various things to sort out her stuff. And I was going through an old Bible on one occasion, and I found letter after letter after letter. Those letters that this lady had written, those poems that she had penned, no one else knew about them but Aunt Mary and this lady who has written them. That was her ministry. That was her work that she was able to do. Those words of encouragement, those weren't pieces of paper that were quickly read, scrumpled up, and put in the fire. They were placed lovingly inside her copy of the Scriptures. You might be called to do something in man's eyes, big and mighty, something major. But you know, little is much when God is in it. Whether it be taking your pen and writing a note to someone, whether it be lifting the phone and inviting them to a meeting, we ought to do what God has commanded us to do. For us to fail in that regard is to fail. This man, Moses, we can highlight the occasions where he made mistakes. We look at verse 4 there, and the words that we didn't read, the first verse, and Moses answered and said, but. Isn't that just an indictment upon him? But don't we do the same thing? The Lord will command us to do something and we will answer with, but. With God there are no buts. With God there is a way, and we ought to go in his way. We need to be encouraged by these words. Even though this man Moses said but, even though he came up with excuse after excuse, even though he blamed his stammer and all the rest of it, even though God's anger, and we read of it here, was kindled, still there was a way back. You look at the history, and this is what this book is. This is divinely inspired historical account of what actually happened and how Moses was mightily used. Even though we may have missed out, the Lord has commanded us to do something. We're not in the scrap heap. The Lord will and can use us if we but go. Remember, when God says, go, we're reminded again of those words of Jonathan, go forth. Those words that he has written in his own biography. Well, and part of it that made up his biography. There was I, bought with the precious blood of Christ, daring to do with my life as I pleased. I pray that this word this morning might be an encouragement, that it might be a blessing, that it might indeed be a challenge to each and every one of us this day. And if you're unsaved today, if you have never met with the Lord, I pray that you, even as Moses met with Christ in the desert, in that miraculous way, that you too, this day, might miraculously meet with him. That your life would be changed. Consider how Moses' life was completely turned around and changed as a result of the meeting that day with the Lord. We too, every time we meet with the Lord, ought to be and should be and are changed by his wonderful grace. Let us pray. Our Father, we do thank thee for thy mercy. We do thank thee, Lord, for thy word this Sabbath day. And Lord, we pray that thou would help us and give us grace to receive thy word. Help us, Lord, to listen for thy voice. Lord, that we might not miss the commandment of God. And Lord, whenever we get it, that we might do our utmost to do as thou hast commanded us. Help us, Lord, as a church. Help us, Lord, as a denomination to reach out, to listen and spend that time waiting before thee. Well, think how Moses took time. He left the flock and he went over and he listened and he heard and he heard God's word on that occasion. Lord, I pray that we might take that time every day to take time listening for thy still small voice, that we might hear the direction of God in our lives. So, Lord, undertake for us, bless us now. We do pray, Lord, that thou would help us as we part now with thy fear and with thy favour, that thou indeed would bless us as we leave this place. Bring us back again in safety tonight. We pray, Lord, that we indeed might be blessed and encouraged in the gospel. In thy precious name we ask it. Amen.